Welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio. Hey, Pam. It's good to see you here at another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio.
Good to be here. I just took this big swallow of coffee and I'm like, oh, could you hear that on the radio?
I don't know. Let us know. Feedback at sexymarriageradio.com where we're constantly asking for interactions with the nation. And that's one of the ways they can let us know what's going on. That's where we'll be heading today is an email that came in just recently to our inbox. There's also a voicemail line, 214-702-9565 is where you can call in and leave your message that we can listen to and then answer on the air, because we want to have a dialogue that helps frame conversations with yourself and your spouse so that you can confront the things that life inevitably is going to throw at you, yeah, particularly in your sex life. And that's where we're heading today. And so let's just jump right in, because this is an email from a wife that she says, I've been married for 30 years and my husband and I have had a good sex life with similar desires and lots of orgasms for both of us. So kudos to both of you on that. The past 6 months, I've been unable to orgasm with him. It's been a pretty difficult time and I've become in an intensely higher desire, feeling like that I need to get off. And since he orgasms every time we have sex and I don't or can't. Last week, I was diagnosed with lichen planus of the vulva, which is probably the cause of my problems with orgasm. And I looked that up. I wasn't sure what that actually was. And that's a chronic inflammatory condition, often associated with an autoimmune issue possibly. And it creates soreness, tightness, itching, pain. And it is treatable with topical, but the length of the treatment is varied on how long before it takes care of everything. So just for that side note with the conversation today. She's about a week and a half into the treatment. The doctor gave no predictions on when or if orgasms would come back. I can actually still orgasm on my own with masturbation. So my question is it wrong or selfish of me to ask my husband to let me masturbate with him alongside on the days after we have sex, after I'm left completely turned on and frustrated without orgasmic relief? So it would be like alternating. Sex together is for us, but for him to orgasm. And then we would focus the next time on just trying to get me there. He's open to it, but I feel embarrassed to have the focus on me. Masturbation has a lot of guilt and weight associated with it for me, and I don't know how to get over that. I'm just wanting some relief together with my husband. Thanks. So obviously we got some scripts going on here. It's just compounded and brought to the forefront via the medical issue that's changed a dynamic. Because that's the one thing that's interesting about life, right? If we figure something out and then something happens and it changes the dynamic. And now I'm having to face more than just the dynamic. I have to face all of the history surrounding my possible scenarios to address that dynamic.
Yeah, I wish she were here, like on a call or something, to ask some questions, because it's interesting that they've been able to, lots of orgasms, she says in her email, throughout their 30 years. And she can't orgasm now except masturbating. So it doesn't sound like this lichen planus that has been diagnosed, ultimately she can orgasm.
Correct.
So it doesn't keep her from orgasming,
So what comes up, what comes to mind is the reliable way she could reach orgasm while they were having sexual intercourse no longer helps, no longer gets it for her, which then begs the question of what are the other patterns in which the ways they've had sexual intercourse, did they have a variety of ways she could actually achieve climax during intercourse? Or because most humans, we know the reliable way, and maybe there's two or three options.
Couple, yeah.
And so I'm curious, how much has there been a dialogue about looking at our technique and our positions and what we incorporate into our sex life together that has worked? Have we tried all of those and it doesn't work? Or have they gotten into a pattern of, we just know the reliable path and that's what we keep coming back to? Maybe we have a lot of adventure up to it and then we get into the reliable path because we know it gets the job to the goal line. So, I mean, it is interesting because you're picking up on the fact that it's not that she's unable to orgasm. It's just not as reliable in the manner in which she wants it to be, because that's what it's been.
Sure. And So you've got the, well, I'm making some assumptions that I don't need to make. So I'm not going to go there. I'm just thinking of how long they've been married and where potentially she is in life, potentially menopause and how the body's changing and all those things anyway. And so those things aren't as reliable anyway.
Right. It's going to happen to all of us. If we're sexual beings, things are going to happen that will make it to where, wait, this didn't work as easy as it did once before.
Yeah, it's time to pivot now and see what else needs to happen. So anyway, I digress on something she didn't even bring up.
Well, that's one thing I want. That's worth at least putting a pin in as far as a point from the episode today. We probably won't come back to it, but it is worth exploring for her and them, as well as anybody else listening that may have any kind of alteration or shift that's happened in their sex life to explore, okay, what was it that we would normally do that is no longer working versus what else could we be doing to try out and see together? Because yeah, then I can maybe get back to, because there are many couples or some couples for sure that they reliably can orgasm just through penile-vaginal intercourse. They can even do it together. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, we can't do that as easily anymore. What's the problem here?
Sure. So I think that's what she's trying to do here is pivot in this situation and right, say to her question, is it okay for me to ask if he'll be there with me
right,
as I pleasure myself? And I mean, he could join in along that. So what would your response
be? Absolutely, it's okay to ask. And this is the thing that's interesting to me is when it comes to our sex lives, it's one of the most intimate, sometimes even closely guarded parts of ourselves, right? I don't want someone else to know, ooh, I might get off on that thought, or I really get turned on by that. I mean, there's some people that have no problem with this. They'll just share everything, and that's just the way that's just the way they are. But a lot of people, we have this, I don't want to be seen that way. And so I'm not sure it's okay to even bring it up. I feel like I'm being selfish if I do it. Because she even made the comment, if she has a problem, her struggle is the weight of being the center of attention, mm-hmm, sexually speaking. Mm-hmm. So is it okay for her to ask? Yes. It's actually an incredible growth step opportunity for their marriage and for sure for her. Mm-hmm. Because it lets you speak about what it is that you're looking for, who it is you're trying to become, what it is you really want out of this part of your life, and being willing to just see what it may bring you. Because some husbands, if a wife is to invite this to happen, would jump at that chance.
Well, and the opposite would happen with some of them as well.
And some of them would be like, no, that's on, how dare you do that just for yourself? Or how dare you exclude me? Or how, you know, because this is the way we all are as humans. We're one or the other most of the time. Mm-hmm. And masturbation is one of these things that there's very few people like in my memory that I've come across where this has been a subject of conversation in the sessions to where they're neutral on it.
They're either one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah.
This is two sides of a coin and you're on one side or the other. Typically, there's not a whole lot that are, oh, I'm basically kind of neutral about it because it's got so much weight associated with the topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guilt and shame and
is it right? Is it wrong?
Right. And
all the things
we've
got so many
things,
episodes on it because it comes up a lot.
Yes.
With people that email in, that call in.
Right. Because the majority of our audience has a religious background. A lot of the times. And this gets even heavier
in that arena
when you add in that component. Mm-hmm. And so is it okay? No, it's not selfish to ask that. This is actually, in my opinion, for her, it's responsible. It's being responsible for yourself better. Mm. Of I'm speaking up for what it is I want. Because if he can still get what it is he wants reliably, how's that any different?
Right, right. I think you got to also take into account when you as Dr. Allen are telling someone, you know, this is likely a good path to take to not try and hide, to not try and just not bring something up because you're afraid of what the response might be.
Mm-hmm.
But to, and this is where we talk about intimacy, right? This is where real intimacy comes in. When mm-hmm. you're talking about these things that are hard, that may interest you, you've got something that you feel like might be a solution for an issue you've got, and you're wanting to do it together as a couple. I mean, potentially that's an opportunity to create an even more intimate relationship between the two of you.
Yeah, because it presents an opportunity for you to be more exposed within the context of a together.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, there are many couples that if they thought about masturbating, I mean, I think of it this way. I've asked this in session. I've asked it in mastermind groups where this has been a subject of part of the content that we're dealing with is masturbation practices. So if you think about it, if you were masturbating during an afternoon and your spouse walked in, what would you do? Would you immediately be all guilt-ridden and shamed, and or would you be like, hey, come on. Do you want to join in? I mean, because you got a whole spectrum.
Or do you just turn and say, you know, I don't want to be that. That's your deal. I'm walking out.
Well, that would be what the spouse would do,
right?
Possibly. Or
oh,
not.
You as the
I'm
person.
Asking you as the one that's actually in the act of masturbation. What would you do? Because most of us get caught up in this whole, it's a secretive thing when we first are exposed or to exploring this aspect of our sexuality. And I grew up in the world of, I was petrified of getting caught. Right. And so it was one of those.
Because it was normally around things that weren't.
Well, there were things associated with it that were not at all helpful, which was porn.
Right. So go back and listen to our episodes where we're talking about this in the history.
But even if it was just this just feels good kind of a thing, I still would be afraid of getting caught over a normal body function. When, how do you grow to where, all right, there might be a little embarrassment, but am I actually doing anything wrong? And this is the thought process I have to get caught up in my own head when I'm actually trying to explore my sexuality.
Yeah. And for her, is she doing something wrong, or is she just exploring? Here's what's going to work, right? Here's how the body is changing, and here's what's going to work for us.
Right.
And maybe he learned something about her body as well.
And that's what the opportunity is.
Where they
kind of
get back to where maybe they want to be, right? And mm-hmm. create something new between
and
the two.
And it actually can be an incredibly intimate occasion if you masturbate alongside each other while including each other. And I mean that in the sense of there's an actual presence there with them. Like, they may not be manually involved at all, digitally involved at all, or anything like that, but they're just there holding you. That can be an incredibly intimate moment.
Yeah.
And you can look each other in the eye. That's an incredibly intimate moment. And so it's just kind of seeing it as this, the desire to want to seek pleasure and relief, because that's what she's talking about, that it intensifies her desire when she can't get off in the normal, reliable way. She can't achieve an orgasm in the normal, reliable way.
I hate using the words get off. I'm just saying. That just doesn't feel like a connection between a husband and a wife. And I may be crazy here. Email in and give me your feedback, right? You can rip on me for that one. I'm just saying, I don't like using that phraseology because it feels like it's just, it is just about me wanting to get off.
Well, she's referring to when we frame orgasm in a biological function and how an orgasm produces a relief, a euphoria, a relaxation. You know, it's that, you know, you just feel different after. That's what that terminology to me means, is it's just in the biological realm. And if you're deprived of that or you can't achieve that, it can intensify the desire to want to have that. And so she's almost, that's actually a good way to frame this too, babe. Well done on pointing this side out, because I think this is good to add in of when we frame it as this is the drive I'm really seeking, but what she's really struggling with is how do I include my husband into this too?
Yeah.
Because now it's then relationally collaborative. Because most of us can think of masturbation as relationally exclusive.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
A masturbatory life that you could have can be inclusive with a spouse. Mm-hmm. It can be a collaboration. Absolutely can be. And it's just having the conversations to see this as, this is, I mean, she even talked about it. We can have alternating focuses. That's a very common practice. I mean, in some sexual encounters, it's a you go, I go mentality,
mm-hmm.
right? We focus on you, then we focus on me. That's the same thing she's proposing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's actually coming up with really good ways to address this.
Yeah. It's just happens to be the day later rather than 5 minutes later or something.
Yeah, because that's the other thought I've got after hearing that. It's like, why not just right then? He's done. He's achieved orgasm. You're still percolating and raring.
Yeah, why does it have to be the next
so
day?
So have him hang out with you. Or if he wants to excuse himself, I'm not done, so I'm gonna hang here a little bit longer.
Well, she wants him to be there.
Fair, but
saying.
It's a boldness of being able to say, I'm going to seek things that I want to. That changes the dynamic between you.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when we soft pedal these things or we kind of dance around these things, it further intensifies the dynamic because it makes him not have to address it either on how it could impact him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I don't want to have to face this. I don't want to have to be there to be a part of it. It feels awkward because that can be exposing for husbands too. There are several husbands that could be like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. So now you got a systemic issue on both sides, much more front and center.
Well, at least now you know.
Yep.
You're not just sitting there wondering.
Right. And so
being up front.
On the medical note, real quick, it's worth at least pointing out to be mindful of not catastrophizing this because it could take a while. And maybe they don't get back to this is the way sex has been. And now we got to figure out what sex can be
mm-hmm.
together because orgasm patterns and reliability changes across lifespans. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Erections don't get as hard as they once were. Lubrication's not the same as it once was. You know, there's all kinds of dynamics that just change over the lifespan. That is just an inevitability. My question is, can I be flexible enough to actually address it? And seek what it is I think would work and test some things out together, test some things out by myself, and then constantly keep a collaboration in mind. Because that's the goal. Because I'm hearing her say, how can I go after what it is I want while still trying to maintain and support my connection?
Hmm.
And the trouble with that is it's scary to break through to that for a lot of us. To actually reveal more of me
mm-hmm.
for something it is that I want. And so what are some ways that we can come up with parallel paths to a shared goal? Because I'm guessing he is on board with her orgasm too. I'm guessing he enjoys her achieving orgasm too. Because if he doesn't, and he doesn't care, that's a different dilemma.
Sure, sure. But likely a safe assumption that right. he's on board with that.
Right. And so looking at this as this is about having to face the shame surrounding her own inherent sexual interest, path, orgasm, and what it takes to get there. Because
mm-hmm.
if she has to take matters into her own hands, it's true. That's what we're talking about here. Is she okay letting that be known? I mean, I'm curious right now, if she can still achieve orgasm via masturbation, does he know that? Has that even been talked about?
I mean, that's a fair question.
Right, because it's one of those, well, she's able to at least, she's got the courage to keep exploring and figure things out for herself. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now mm-hmm. it's the next step of, how do I bring the system into it?
Mm-hmm.
How do I be more upfront with it? And a lot of that, what keeps us in the way is I have these preconceived scripts of what I'm doing is wrong. it shouldn't have to be this way. We should be able to have sex this way, you know, because we have all these shoulds that every single one of us has in life. And so if you start to look at that, what we're going to do in the extended content is here's some questions we can ask ourselves to really start to look at, how do I challenge some of these beliefs to see, are they serving me? Do I still really believe them or not? Have I evolved some? Because we're not going to try to push anything to where you need to agree with us on this. Because even if you decide masturbation is wrong, if you listen to this and you're like, I don't like this topic at all, and you've made it all the way through this far of the show, good job if you do. If you don't agree with us and you're still listening, fantastic. This is not about trying to get you on board with you need to be okay with it. It's about how do you solidify what you really believe and live accordingly. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. And so in the extended content, we'll jump into here's some questions you can ask. So if you're not a member, come join us, smr.fm/academy. Moving into the extended content today, let's keep the conversation going because I love the boldness of her question, that even the fact in the manner in which she's phrasing this, I've got great hope that she'll face this and learn a lot about potential and who she is and what they can be. Because even just a willingness to ask questions like this to a show, to people.
Yeah, she's already on the right path.
Shows really good things because this is a healthy process to me of what she's doing. There's nothing going wrong here, mm-mm, right? This is actually doing marriage well because I'm going to face a dynamic and figure out how do I adapt and stay connected? Because I think that's the goal I think we all should have in marriage is how do I adapt and stay connected? So here's some questions to look at. These are kind of more aimed at her in some ways, but I think they can be applicable to all of us on when we look at our sexual practices and how maybe something that was once reliable is now no longer as reliable. So what do I need to do to learn about myself in this moment rather than focusing on what's not working? Because that's oftentimes what we do is we will catastrophize things for sure in the moment. And then can continue that thread. And then we just further lock in our discontent and frustration.
Fears.
And yes. And then fears and everything takes over.
Yeah.
And so if we're talking about this, I'm going to do it as a pre-sex, a during, and then an after. Just some questions to kind of ask. Okay. So pre-sex, this is actually before any kind of contact. I've just got these feelings. I've got the thoughts about sex. Or, you know, I know this is a possibility. It's building up towards. I've kind of had a jazzness to me. So this is asking like kind of a body reality of like, what's my body actually telling me right now? Mm-hmm. What's really going on with me? Because this is a way we can move beyond the biological only or primarily driven urges and move it into what's really going on with me too. Cause it could be being fueled initially from the body, the biology, but what else is it saying that I also would love just good contact with somebody, not just the sexual contact. I mean, what's the sensations I'm feeling? What's any kind of tension I'm feeling? Because these can be mixed, right? I could be excited about something and scared at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You're thinking of Armageddon.
I'm immediately going to Armageddon, Owen Wilson's character.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 90% excitement, 2% fear. Blah, blah. Yeah. Anyway.
Or it's the other way. And that's what makes it so exciting and intense.
That's what makes it so intense.
Right. But it's just that same kind of concept of we're not often in tune with what's both sides of the coin going on with me. Because just personally, even over 32 years of sex life with you, I can have times where there's a buildup towards sex and I have some feelings and sensations that are really positive and good mixed in with a few little sprinkles of anxieties and uncertainties.
Well, sure.
Right. And it's like, what's going on here? This is nothing new that we're not doing anything new here. We've done this a bunch, but.
Well, that there's the rub, right? It's not new. And so you've seen and you've got a script of things that have gone right, things that have gone wrong.
Right.
What has been Pam's reaction to this? And yeah. And
so this is the idea of how do I get better in tune with what my body is actually telling me rather than what I wish was true about what it's telling me. How do I slow myself down to actually get in tune? And then also, where am I? As a mentally, emotionally, physically, where am I? Is this a wholehearted yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's a wholehearted, I'm willing to be curious and explore. Is it a wholehearted or is it a conditional or a maybe, or is it a no? Because a lot of times we just become very instinctual of like, you know, I could propose something to you and it caught you off guard in the moment and you're like, nope, not interested. And then you might have a likelihood of coming back saying, you know what? And now that I've had a chance to think about that and it's settled a little bit, I might be on board with that. That's the way we all are as people, because sometimes we're just caught off guard.
Well, and that happens sometimes. I think that's worth having in the back of your brain that maybe your spouse can come back from a reaction that may initially.
Right. And this is where it's so
been
much
caught off guard. I think
it's benefited so much more when whoever it is that's initiating things in that moment is better at just exposing, here's what I'm interested in, and less attached to how does it land? How do they respond? Do I get a positive yes? And, you know, it's just like, no, I'm just kind of telling you where I am too. Mm-hmm. So this goes on both sides, higher desire or lower desire. How am I aware of what I'm going to? And this is kind of the idea of the third question of the intention. What am I really looking for here? In her case, am I really just jazzed and I'm looking for relief?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or am I looking for closeness? Do I want some validation? Do I want some experimentation? Am I feeling a little insecure and this helps boost me? Right? It's all of these things. If I had to pick one primary aim tonight, which one is it? So at least I know a little more of what I'm seeking, because then that creates a greater likelihood I might speak up about it if I'm not getting it.
Yeah. And I think by throwing in the word tonight, right. Which one is it? Because it could
or
be.
Or in the moment.
In the moment. Which one is it?
Because that can change too.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes I'm not even sure what I'm looking for. And so if I'll do a little pre-check of, no, what I'm really wanting is a slow connected time. Mm-hmm. How we get there, I'm really open to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. No, what I'm really wanting is a vibrant, energetic time. Okay. And I've got a specific way I want to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, if I'm more aware of that, at least I bring myself more whole to the occasion. And so now this is a during time. And this is going to sound laboratory-ish in some ways, because I think a lot of us can have this thought of, but aren't I supposed to just be totally in tune with what's going on in the moment and totally enmeshed into my spouse and the experience and the feelings and the sensations? And that's there too. But we also are capable, because of the mind, of learning and being aware of myself in the midst of being present with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
We can do those simultaneously. Absolutely can. Because if you've ever had a conversation with somebody you really care about, and it elicited some anxiety in you or some fear in you, and you became aware of that, but you were still able to listen to them. That's what we're talking about here.
All right.
Man, I'm really freaking out with it. I mean, I'm assuming this is something that's happened with you before. It's like, I'm really freaking out about this, but I'm still hearing what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm still totally engaged with what you're saying, but I'm crawling in my skin right now. Same process.
Yeah, sure. Things you got no control over, really. Because you're just there with another human being that has their own desires, wants, control over their own being, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is when you're in the midst of the encounter together sexually. What cues are there in your own body of like an orgasmic inevitability? Like, where can you kind of feel the build going and you can kind of are cueing into that? Because sometimes we don't. We're just kind of hoping. Sometimes we can. And then sometimes it's like, I'm very, very in tune.
Well, I think it For me, it starts in the brain.
Oh, all of this is in the brain, in the sense of just how am I more aware and in tune with the cues that are going on? Because the converse is also true of, am I in tune with things that they're building and it's good, it's sustainable, or I've kind of lost it and I've just kind of reverted to, I hope I get it back, rather than, okay, wait, what made that go? What lost it? What shifted? Because if I can bring myself to be present more when I've got even a subtle disconnect, I have a greater likelihood of connecting faster at the mouth of that. Rather okay. than I just close my eyes and hope. And then my spouse cues in at some point, what's going on here? Or they don't cue in, which is an even a bigger issue.
Well, they're
totally checked out and they're just going.
They have no clue or they're just ignoring it.
Right. Right. And so it's just, how am I aware of the signals going on in me?
Yeah.
Positive and negative. That's just cueing into that. Also, what are some tiny tweaks or shifts that maybe have happened in the midst of something that changes the trajectory for me? Right. It could be a speed. It could be a rhythm. It could be a pressure. It could be a touch. Something that all of a sudden, oh, wait, I just kind of got derailed. So how do I just become aware of that? Because I think a lot of times, tell me if I'm wrong with the way this lands. A lot of times we can have this, we're holding on to our arousal trajectory real, real tightly because like, I just want this rhythm to keep going. And it feels like something just altered it. And I want to just hold on tighter rather than wait. It's okay that altered it. If I can become aware of it, I can settle myself down and bring myself back to it faster.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Rather than bear down harder and just, my body will take over. Like sometimes, yes. But a lot of times this is all brain work we're talking about. Of how do I just, okay, wait, hold on. I just lost something for a second. We actually have a chance to become even more in tune together.
Mm-hmm.
In those moments. And so what would raise my odds when I'm more aware of that?
Is it in tune together? I mean, you said we're able to become more in tune together in that. But isn't that typically my own brain getting in the way?
It is.
And it's not necessarily something I got to do with you. I've just got to get my own brain out of the way.
Right. But what I'm talking about with sexual encounters at its best are brain to brain. And so on some level, when you become out of tune with us, my brain knows that. Maybe isn't conscious yet, but it'll pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities that we have. I mean, think of all the different times where I've woken up and been in a different mood than a normal. And you're like, your brain's going, what's going on? What happened? What's different?
Yeah, but I guess I have to disagree with you a little bit here. I don't know if it's disagree, but yeah, we can read our spouse. We can see some things, but I think lots of times we make assumptions and we read things wrong as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going based off an old script
mm-hmm.
and, oh, where'd you go? Well, I'm right here. Nothing changed. If you can get mind to mind and we really know what the heck's going on with one another, well, that's just otherworldly.
Well, it's not mind to mind as in mind reading. It's just more in tune with you're taking care of yourself. And if you lost a connection in this moment, like we're describing for her, how does she bring herself back forward with the tiny tweaks, a tiny speak up, a tiny shift? Because that has an opportunity then to continue a better collaboration. That's the goal. It's not that he needs to pick up on the cues. It's she needs to bring herself forward.
So your key there is speaking up.
And
right?
or making a move forward for herself, which is the whole crux of everything she's asked so far in this episode.
Okay.
How do I bring myself forward more? And then afterwards, it would be how did that unfold with my choices on how they impacted? Right. If I was aware of my cues, I was aware of what was going on, I followed along with the pattern we were following. What was the impact of that on me and on him? what happened? Mm-hmm. What was it in line with what I wanted, or did I go along to get along? Or, you know, so I start to become more aware of what's my pattern in this dynamic, because it's real easy to think they just care about XYZ. Mm-hmm. They just always only do XYZ, whatever it might be, rather than, okay, wait, what's my role in this? Debrief myself. And this isn't about scorekeeping. This is about learning about myself. Mm-hmm. Like, what worked that I would want to repeat? What didn't work? What got in the way in my own mind, in my own body, that I need to become more aware of? Mm-hmm. Because those are good, subtle opportunities to just become more of a student of myself and then in turn us. Mm-hmm. And then I can use it for future encounters, for future learning about myself, for future bringing myself forward. Because I can look at this through, what am I being challenged to confront? Because in the last questions, and this is where the crux of what she's asked, is how do I meet the shame and guilt voices head on as it pertains to aspects of my sex life? Like, where did this come from? Where did this voice of guilt come from? What is it really?
Yeah.
Right? Is it family? Is it faith? Is it culture? Is it a younger version of me? What of that voice still serves me, and what of it doesn't?
Yeah.
If this were framed, if masturbation, like, which is the crux of what she's asking, was framed as skillful care during inevitable shifts and healing opportunities in life, would I respond differently? If I looked at this as it's not selfish, it's self-care, it's marriage edifying because I'm including, I'm inviting, does that change things? Because sometimes we don't ask these questions in this way, at least. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I love this question. This is almost a go-to for any situation we get in that I feel like I'm kind of caught in the forest, can't see the trees because of the forest, or the forest of the trees, or whatever. I don't know how that phrase goes.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
There you go.
Yeah.
If I was having coffee with a best friend and this subject came up, what would I tell them? Hmm. Right. She's the one presenting it, or he's the one presenting it. What would my counsel be to them?
Yeah.
How do I give that to myself?
Yeah.
Because we're often really good with telling, oh, I think you don't make such a big deal about it. You're great. You should totally. But I won't give myself my own counsel.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, if I can just start to be better at what's really being challenged of me in this, it really can help explore. Here's some options I've got to really face and refine myself, which only serves myself and my marriage in, you know, synchronistically. I'm making up a word there.
We know what you're saying.
You got exactly what I'm saying. So it's a word. They'll feed off each other, as both, and both will improve. Mm-hmm. And that's the ultimate goal, is when I become better, my marriage has a chance to become better. Mm-hmm. When my marriage is better, I have a chance to be better. Those are simultaneous. And so having the courage to keep that journey that she's got going, kudos to her. And all the best in however this unfolds. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap this up, if I was to kind of sum up our conversation from both the regular version and the extended, if you've missed the extended, please join us. Those are fun conversations that just go even deeper, mm-hmm. or go more personal and specific, is a lot of what we try to do with the extended contents each time. But it's looking at this as wanting more connection, or wanting more sexual satisfaction or relief even. I'm going to put that more in the category of healthy when it's in the context of marriage. I want more connection. I want more collaboration with this. I want to bring my life more fully in line and exposed with you.
Yeah. And even though we've been married 30 years, there's things that if it's not in the norm, or we haven't done this before, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I'm going to ask, like she's doing, it, is all right?
Right.
It's nothing we've done in the past.
Right.
Is this going to push the limit?
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to push the limit, but it's going to grow both of you. And that's where you're doing marriage right.
Just by asking, it grows both of
you.
Right. Yes.
And so you're actually learning to adapt How do I stay connected? How do we choose better? How am I more congruent with belief mm-hmm. and action and not letting shame take over and mm-hmm. dictate and dominate, but actually confront that thing head on mm-hmm. to see how do I keep both of us in the game here? Mm-hmm. How do I handle my side of the equation? Because it takes us places we can't go together. Wait, we can't go alone. We go better together. And that's the goal. Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, 214-702-9565 or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us, thanks. We'll see you next time.